出国深造，在 Boston Gordon Conwell 还有这个英国的是 Edinburgh，
是
Edinburgh 拿到他的 MDiv 和他的博士学位。这个我们接下来这个就把我介绍可能不完全，还请这个罗教授自己可以做一些更进一步的介绍。So today we are so glad that we have Professor Lo to be among us. He was working with the campus ministry in Taiwan early on, and then received his MDiv and PhD from Gordon Conwell and Edinburgh. So I'd like to give the phone time to him. Maybe he can introduce himself to us a little bit more. So give the phone time to him and have Chen Xi to take on this challenging job for translation. 把这个翻译的这个难题交给这个这个陈曦。
弟兄姊妹早安。
Peace be with you, brothers and sisters.
很高兴今天能够有机会来到这里，跟你们一起来思想上帝的话。
I'm glad to be here today to share with you the Word of God.
我现在在LA Covina 的一个学校神学院里面服侍。
Currently, I'm serving at a seminary in Covina, LA.
我在那里是新约的教授的。
And I'm teaching about the New Testament.
我们学校的名字叫做 Guest Theological Seminary 创新神学院。
My school is called Guest Seminary.
我们在全世界的很多地方都有一些校区。
And we have various branches all over the world.
那最主要的校区是在中国国内的。
And the main campus is in mainland China.
是，那今天很高兴来到这里呢。
Very glad to be here today.
那我代表学校来跟你们问安。
And on behalf of my seminary, I greet you all.
那今天早上要跟大家思想的题目是香膏之爱。
Today, we're going to share about the perfume love.
经文我们刚刚已经看过了，所以我们就不再读了。
We have just gone through the scripture.
那我会从两个角度跟大家谈这个题目呢。
And I will talk about this from two angles.
第一个是从法利赛人跟耶稣之间关系来看这个故事的。
So first, we'll look at the relationship between the Pharisee and Jesus.
那法利赛人到底是怎么样的一群人呢？
So who are the Pharisees?
他们到底在以色列的那个社会里面扮演什么样的角色？
What kind of role do they play in the Jewish society?
那他们起源是在主前的西元的前的586年那个时候开始的。
They originated from 586 BC.
那个时候以色列人被从以色列地掳到巴比伦去了。
And that time the Jewish the Israel people were taken into exile.
到了那里以后，他们没有圣殿。
There they had no temple.
那他们的信仰要怎么样进行呢？
So how do they carry on with their faith?
如果我们今天没有教会，没有主日，我们的信仰要怎么样去进行呢？
If we had no church, we had no Sunday service, how should we carry on?
这是一个很大的挑战。
This is a big challenge.
所以他们开始就没有圣殿，没有献祭。
So they had at that time they had no sacrifice, they had no temple.
所以他们就开始研究上帝的话作为他们敬拜上帝的方式。
So they started studying the word of God as their way to worship God.
然后他们以祷告来代替献祭。
And they pray instead of offering sacrifices.
那要读经的话，需要有圣经在手。
So they need the scripture.
那他们就开始有一些人抄写圣经了。
So many people transcribe the scripture.
那些人就叫法利赛人或者是文士。
So they were originally called the Pharisees or the scribes.
然后之后他们就回到了以色列地呢，被掳归回呢。
And then they returned from their exile.
那回到那里以后，他们要怎么样继续进行？
And how should they continue their religious life?
信仰怎么样在生活里面把它实践出来呢？
And how should they put into practice their faith?
那在生活里面有很多很多的问题要去解决呢。
And they have many practical issues to deal with in their life.
所以他们就需要有一些人来解释旧约呢。
So they need specialists to interpret the Old Testament. So these specialists were called the Pharisees. And when they interpret the Bible, so they told their people what to do and what not to do. And the word Pharisee, literally it meant separation. So what is separated? I can give you a few examples. So this is the canon for the Jewish people. It said that a woman can borrow things like sifter or grinding machine or oven to his neighbor who is suspicious of violating the laws on the sabbatical year. But this woman is not allowed to winnow or to grind grains with her neighbors. So I will not read all of this. So what is this passage talking about? That is when a woman prepares food in her house. He must watch for her behavior so that she would not violate the certain laws. So that we can see that their faith is closely connected to their everyday life. Let's look at another example. If a house is broken in by a thief, it is the footsteps of that thief is considered unclean. And what does the thief contaminate? This includes food, liquids, or any container that was not covered with the lid. But the couch, the chairs, and the chinaware that are covered with lids, they're clean still. If they were with Gentiles or women, and everything would become unclean. So my question is, if it happened in our days, you may have a camera in your house. With the camera, you could see who could where were the thief. But how should they know at that time? If you're robbed, then you need to carry out a ritual of cleansing. How should you do it? What objects should you cleanse? So this is the area of the Pharisees. So this makes sense. The food, the chinaware, the liquids need to be cleansed. But the large pieces of furniture do not need to be cleansed. If the Gentiles or women came, everything will be contaminated. This is an example of what the Pharisees do. Another example? For example, when we eat at the church, we need to pray, to give thanks before we eat. So the Jews did the same thing. But before they pray, they will count how many male adults or present. Only if the number reaches a certain number, they will give thanks. So the amount of food that you take is also counted as a factor. So here there are two theories on this. One rabbi taught that the valid amount is the weight of an olive. But the other theory is that the weight should be as heavy as an egg. What if it is a big olive? So this is the Pharisees, what the Pharisees did. So they're kind of similar to the spiritual advisors of our days. We saw many of this kind of mentors on websites everywhere. So they teach people. They teach what people should do when they face certain issues. Pharisees were not a large group at that time. They did not hold any government posts. Because they needed to be separated from the Roman administration. But they had quite a high social status. They were considered men with wisdom and authority to interpret the word of God. So one of them was called Simon, and he invited Jesus to have dinner at his house. So was his intention good or evil? So before answering this question, we should have an idea of the life pace of the first century. So it was an agrarian society. So people get up early around 6 in the morning. And had some leftovers from the previous day. And then went to work in the field. And worked through all the morning through 11. And it was really hot around midday. So they ate and took some rest. So after lunch, some of them went to have a bath in the spa of their times until 2 p.m. So they did some exercises, took a bath, and some other activities until 4 p.m. So they would get ready to eat supper around 4. Because they did not have lamps like our days. So they'd better go to bed soon after the sunset.
Uh,
The Roman administration also thinks that if you have things that cannot be finished during the daytime,
那个事情一定是坏事的,
that must be a bad thing.
所以晚上不可以有什么太多的活动。So
there shouldn't be much activity during the night.
所以他们到了晚上吃晚饭，其实大概是他们一天的最重要的事情。So
the supper should be the major event of the day.
请人吃晚餐是不是一种表达善意的方式？So
is it a way to express good intention to invite somebody to have dinner?
不一定。It
depends.
有时候请人吃晚饭只是表达自己的财富跟社会地位。
Sometimes it is just a way to show off one's own wealth or social status.
他会写一张邀请卡那样。
They will send out an invitation card.
让他的一个仆人带到邀请。
And ask a servant to carry the message. We can simply send a text message today. But at that time, there must be a messenger to take the invitation. And when the messenger arrived at the guest's place, he will shout out the message at the guest gate.
他说某某某，你今天已经被邀请到谁的家里面去吃晚餐。
The servant will shout out, "Someone is invited to somebody's house to have dinner tonight."
目的就是要让很多人知道。So
that the neighbors can hear it.
然后那一天，这个主人宴会的主人呢？So
at this day, the host of this dinner.
他会在路上走的时候碰到人。
The host would impromptu invite anybody on the street to have dinner with them also. I wish I would come across someone like this. Because the more guests he invited, the higher the status in the house. So it would surely honor the host if some public figures can show up. So with what kind of attitude did this Pharisee who was called Simon invite Jesus to have dinner? So from scripture, we can see that Jesus said, "You did not give me any water for my feet." But why did the host have to give water to wash the feet of the guests? We can see from this picture that so people in the first century did not sit down to have dinner. They were inclining their body.
那你看到，如果从这个图上的话，有一些人的脚就大概斜躺的话，他的脚旁边就会是另外一个人的头的位置。So
someone would be lay their head at your feet.
所以如果你没有洗脚的话，if
you have not washed your feet,
另外一个人。
Your neighbor would have a hard time. So this Pharisee did not give any water for Jesus' feet. And he did not either give Jesus a kiss. So people in the Middle East around that time usually greet people by kissing. So good friends will usually grab the other friend's shoulders and give a symbolic kiss five times without touching the cheek, five times on both sides. So if just a so-so friend, then three kisses.
手。
It's like handshaking today.
然后他们也没有这个西门也没有给耶稣用油去抹他的头那样。
The Pharisee did not either put oil on Jesus' head.
那为什么要抹油呢？
So why should he pour perfume?
如果到你家，你给我用油来抹我的头，我会觉得很奇怪，对不对？
If I go to your place and you put oil on my head, I will feel weird.
那第一世纪的卫生。
But the conditions of the first century is not very wholesome.
所以他们头上会长头虱呢。
So they will have small bugs on in their hair.
那头虱很难除掉。
And they're very difficult to remove.
用油抹它的时候可以把它闷死。
But if you pour oil on your head, the bugs will be suffocated to death.
所以用油抹头是表示。
So this is a gesture of caring if the host pour oil on the guest's head.
那我们刚刚看到法利赛人他们是谨守法律规条的群人，对不对？
And I have just told you that the Pharisees were very strict with the laws.
那西门在耶稣来到他家里的时候，他什么都没有做。
But when Jesus came to his house, Simon did not do anything.
一个主人该尽上的
He did not show any gesture of caring or host responsibility to Jesus. But why did he invite Jesus to dinner anyway? Probably Jesus was kind of well known at that time. So when Simon invited Jesus, so that Jesus would add on to his own honor. So during that dinner, Jesus was merely an insignificant figure. Just like a picture on the wall or some decorations on the table. So that was the attitude of this Pharisee whose name was Simon. And secondly, let's look at the interaction between that sinful woman and Jesus. So for Simon the Pharisee, Jesus was totally dispensable. But it's a different story for the sinful woman. So when she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she immediately came. So who was this woman? So there were various Marys in the Bible. We have Mary Magdalene. From whom Jesus casted out several demons. And also there's a Mary who is Martha's sister. But Luke didn't specify here which Mary he's talking about. Luke only said, described her as a sinner. So what does this mean? It is very easy for a Pharisee to judge a woman as sinner. For example, if a woman is a sinner, if she offers her husband food that has not been tithed, which means when the woman cooks dinner at night at home, when he chops the food, so he might cut food into 10 pieces. But the 10th piece should be separated to offer to God.
Uh,
But if she puts every piece in the pot, then the food is not tithes, then this woman became a sinner. Or if she let her husband hug her during her periods. Or if she turns her body too fast that she lays bare her arms. Or she talks too loud or complains too much. Or she curses her child or her father-in-law. Then she was a sinner to the Pharisee. It's very hard to conform it, right? So our sister might feel lucky to be living in this age, not that age. So is this woman the same kind of sinner as we have just talked about? It should not be, because Luke said here that when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town, in that town means that this is known by everyone in that town. So she probably was a prostitute or an immoral woman. So was this sinful woman aware of what would happen if she went to the house of the Pharisee? And what was she up to? Here we can see a picture of being lying down and eating dinner. This is a hall with three couches. And there is someone dancing and playing music for them. And every piece of food is already chopped and ready to serve. Because you're lying down so that you can use only one hand to grab food, because the other hand is supporting your body. And in this picture that we can see a woman standing right behind that lady. That standing woman is a servant. If you go to a dinner, you can take your own servant. You can take your own napkins. You can take your own jar. Sanitary. Yeah, whenever you need. So we can see that this sinful woman came to this dinner and stood behind the feet of Jesus. So she, her intention was to serve Jesus. So did she achieve her goal? And the first thing we see is that she cried because she thought about what Jesus has done in her life. Her weeping drew attention of many people. You can imagine that. In that dining hall, everyone is kind of lying. But this woman was standing up behind Jesus. And she cried so much that her tears even wet the feet of Jesus. If you were in that room, that was a very obvious event to notice. And then her service was kind of contempted by Simon the Pharisee. Because when Simon saw this, he made a judgment for Jesus in his heart. He said, Jesus might not be a true prophet. Because Simon thought that if he were a prophet, he should have known what kind of woman she is. And Jesus even let this sinful woman touch himself. So from this perspective, we can see that this woman did not really achieve her goal. But from a different perspective, it's a beautiful service that this woman offered to the Lord. Because Jesus was not honored in that dining hall. He was just an insignificant supporting role. But she made Jesus the leading role. And she made it possible some interaction between Simon and Jesus. And she let Jesus have the opportunity to reveal himself as a true prophet. Jesus knew perfectly what Simon was thinking. And lastly, what is the ultimate consequence of Mary's action? She revealed the true identity of Jesus. Because Jesus said afterwards, your sins are forgiven, go in peace. And of course, for the Jewish people, only God can forgive people's sins. So although seemingly this woman did not achieve her goal, but she let Jesus reveal his true identity. So let us make a summary here. We see here a sinful woman with a jar of perfume, and she offered a humble service that can make God be glorified. I know a sister. Who devoted herself to serve God since she was young. And her life was totally changed in a camp. So that retreat was held in China in the 1950s. So there was a very famous evangelist in China at that time, whose name was Song Shangjie. I'm sure many of you know him. So first, Song Shangjie came to study in the United States, and he got his PhD in chemistry.
完成以后，他就坐船回到中国呀。
And on his way back to China.
那在船上的时候，他觉得上帝要使用他，呼召他呢。
He was quite clear of his calling to serve God.
所以他就把他的毕业证书就丢到海里面去。
So he casted his diploma into the sea.
然后回到中国以后，他就在中国的南部的省份里面，南昌那个地方作为他的基地。
And back to China, he based his ministry in some southern provinces, and Nanchang was his base.
然后他就到各处去传讲上帝的话。
And he traveled around China to preach the gospel.
那我这个姐妹就是在他的那个培灵会里面。
So this sister's life was totally turned around in one of Song Changjie's revival meetings. So they were carrying their luggage to the retreat. And even after the meeting, they need to cook their own dinner. And the meeting was held in a big temple. And it went on for a month. So her life was transformed in that retreat. But for a long time, she could not put into practice her devotion to serve God. And after being married, she gave birth to 8 children. And she even had her own job. And that time, China was having a war against Japan. Her life went through ups and downs. But after she settled down for her own life, she felt the drive to carry out her devotion. So although she had a job and 8 children to feed, and she still attended a seminary during the nighttime. And he's studying in the seminaries for 6 years. And she offered her own house to for the church. Because she had this will inside. Everything I have is given by God. So I should everything of mine to God to be used by him. I'm very familiar with this sister because she was my mother. During her life, I saw her full commitment to serve God. Just like this woman, what she had was very humble. And she also had her own responsibilities. But one humble service would glorify God. I think in many ways we are like this woman. Our sins are forgiven by God. And God provided us with abundant grace. And how should we respond to God's grace? Now we're living in a society of immigrants. As an immigrant, you will face many challenging things. And we have our children and our career to take care of. But how should we honor God with our faith? You might say that, well, I have no great gifts. But it's not impossible to serve God. Just a simple smile. A warm greeting. A phone call. Text message. You can do a lot of things. And we live a hard life in this world. And in the church, we can feel the love of our brothers and sisters. I think this is a main factor that draw people to the church. And we should be fully armed to enter into the society. Because many people have evil intentions. Some people might say rumors about you. And the church is relatively better. So what do we have to offer in this church? A church should grow in his own place. The church should reflect the scent of Jesus. That needs the participation and commitment of every brother and sister. It's not easy. I know you live a hard life. It is also not easy to make a commitment to helping the church. So I had a talk with Cam in his house. We talk about we compared Christianity with some other religions. And there are not a lot of religions who are so demanding for the believers. Your income should be tithed. You should come to attend the service. And we have prayer meetings and fellowship during the week. Very few religions work like this. So Buddhists really just go to the temple to offer some cents on the first day or the 15th day of the calendar, of the lunar calendar. But we require a lot of participation from our brothers and sisters. Why? Because we're greatly blessed by God. And really, especially here in the States, we do not come across with a lot of persecutions against religions. But when I served in mainland China, many brothers and sisters there, especially the co-workers in the church, they face a lot of pressure from the administrations. When I was with them, I could feel their pressure. And I was very happy to accompany them walk their way. We have Sunday school or some other disciple trainings here. It might be about your prayer or your devotional life. But when the ministers gather together in China, what are they talking about? What are they learning? They come together to study the certain rules made by the government. So that they know how to respond to the police, for example, when the persecution comes. And since the 1st of February this year, and the religious persecution became even worse in China. I was often worried about them. Many of my students serve as ministers or leaders in their church. And so they were serving on the very first front. And they need to take the pressure from the government. We rarely use passive voice in Chinese. But in China, there are many words in passive voice. For example, a pastor is invited to have tea, or is forced to travel. These are all kinds of things they need to face. But they're still standing there, facing the challenges every day. They were very clear that they had been greatly blessed by God. So they know that they should do something so that glory would be given to God. A sinful person with a perfume, with a jar of perfume, with a humble service, can give great glory to God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that today through this passage, you let us know your will for us. We give all our thanks, for you blessing us greatly in our lives. May your Spirit works powerfully in our lives, so that we know how great is your grace, so that we can be clear. No matter how much we serve you, it is not proportionate to what we receive from you. You die for all of us on the cross. And you send the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. You give us a new birth. You send the Spirit to be our guide, so that we can walk on your way of justice. We offer again ourselves in front of you. Our service might be humble, but we believe that they're worthy in your eyes. You know that our life has a purpose, that is to glorify you. May your name be exalted in our lives and in our church. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.